to the Christian reader. The Puritans maintained a high view of family, seeing it as a brick in a larger structure of both church and society. These bricks can be solid, true, and square, or of a mealy, crumpling, and warped quality. The difference is largely in how the bricks are shaped and fired, even as our family members' lives will be shaped by the priority we put upon establishing and maintaining an orderly family, with each part working together in harmony, and fired by a God-honoring response to sin and suffering. It is often thought that Puritan households were harshly domineering and legalistically rigorous, but this is not true. Instead, they proved that to arrive at Christian love and joy in the home meant to follow the path of a biblically defined role, observance of authority, and unity through family worship. The Puritans began with the assumption that children are born evil, Psalm 51, verse 5. Richard Alistree said, "The newborn babe is full of the stains and pollutions of sin, which it inherits from our first parents through our loins." This stands in diametric opposition to the sentimental idea that children are innocent from birth. Because of this indwelling sin, the Puritans realized that children must have both guidance and correction. Parents must be wary and suspect. They must reprove and sharply reprove their children of doing or saying ill. If the evil be suffered to increase, it will rage and burn down the whole house. For we become good not by birth, but by training. Operating under these assumptions, there was no delay in beginning to bring these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you would prevent Satan from corrupting your children, do not delay, but be dropping an instruction as soon as they are able to understand anything. They understood that habits are difficult to break once established. If we have been accustomed to outward wickedness, inward impenitency, hardness of heart, and unbelief, it will be very hard when we come to break off from it. They are also taught by example. Precept without pattern will do little good. You must lead them to Christ by example as well as counsel. You must set yourselves first and speak by lives as well as words. You must live religion as well as talk religion. And again, don't think your children will mind the good rules you give them if you act contrary to those rules yourselves. If your counsels are good and your examples are evil, they will be more likely to be hurt by the latter than benefited by the former. They taught from the Word of God in various means, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Very young children were taught the stories of the Old and New Testaments with moral lessons. Then they were made active participants by learning the catechism, a method of teaching basic systematic theology by question and answer. Puritan fathers led the family in worship during the week and led the family to worship on the Sabbath. They talked with their children about Sunday sermon. The Puritans did not shy away from the Bible's command to spank their children. Proverbs 22, verse 15, Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14. Cotton Mather said, "Better whipped than damned." But they used restraint. They must chasten with the mildest means and with the least rigor. They used it for serious offenses. "I would never give a child a blow except in cases of obstinacy or some gross enormity." They used it as a last resort when other means failed. Know their natural dispositions and use severity as a last means. They also work to understand what type of punishment was best suited to each child's disposition. Diverse children have different natures. Those parents are wise that can fit their nature to their nature. Lastly, and most importantly, Puritan parents prayed for their children with a sense of urgency. They understood that their children had an enemy, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Lions are known to see the young as easy prey. On praying for his children, Cotton Mather said, "I pour out continual prayers and cries to the God of all grace for them, that he will be a father to my children and bestow his Christ and grace upon them and guide them with his counsels and bring them to glory. And in this action, I mention them distinctly, every one by name unto the Lord, that the Spirit of grace may fall upon them in this action, and they may be seized by him and held as his temples through eternal ages." Children are a tremendous blessing and a tremendous responsibility. It is my prayer that the teaching that follows would lead to God's blessing on your family. Volgo Vitis Veritas, the editor. And that editor is Dr. Gerald Mick. I am your narrator, Dwayne A. Lynn. And that is the prologue.